A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Force Center Presents Databank Dive. I'm Ken Napstock.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is the show where we do almost exactly what the title says. We take a character, a place, basically any noun, we'll do some verbs eventually, from Star Wars, and we dive into the topic supported by the StarWars.com databank, the information there, and of course, going even deeper into the wild, wild world of Wikipedia.
Indeed. We did a first season of this on the Companion Sci-Fi app. Check it out if you want. Tommy Valentine over there at Companion. We're getting to hang out with him in London for Star Wars Celebration. Finally, after all these years working and listening to them. Also want to let you all know about our Patreon page, patreon.com/ForceCenter. It's a great place if you want to support the podcast directly. It's helping us grow, sustain what we do, all those wonderful things. But hey, here's what I'm excited about. Indiana Jones and the Perilous Podcast is our Patreon-exclusive podcast show there. The episodes will become public after Indiana Jones 5, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny's release. But join us for the journey up to Dial of Destiny on our Patreon page at patreon.com/ForceCenter. All right, Joseph, we are, I guess we could still say Mando season. We're in it. We're not leading into it. We're in it. And we had kind of pressed pause on Databank Dive, so to return, because we were busy analyzing Bad Batch and, of course, The Mandalorian. So with that in mind, our topic today, Joseph, going into the StarWars.com databank is the client.
Yeah.
Been waiting for this one. I was surprised that we didn't. So here's what we do on the show. As you all know, we're going to go to the StarWars.com databank and see what they have to say about the client. And here it is. It is, let me double check, one sentence. A mysterious Imperial, who keeps a low profile in a safe house on Navarro, comma, the client is the face behind an otherwise faceless bounty on an off the record assignment with a high value. That, well, you know, that takes us into season one of The Mandalorian. That is the client indeed. But thankfully, we go to the fine folks at Wikipedia, the source of a lot of other information, and we're going to read a little bit extra from there. And there's a pretty big entry there going through some of the individual episodes that he appears in on The Mandalorian, but here's some stuff I pulled. The client was a human male who served as an imperial officer in the Galactic Empire. After the Empire's fall, he continued with an imperial remnant led by Moff Gideon. Born between 70 BBY and 61 BBY, known as the client, he became an imperial officer, but he earned himself an imperial medallion indicative of high honor. Stoic and stern-faced, he had a very refined, calm, and polite way of speaking his oppression. I added the his oppression. quick thoughts there. Joseph, do you wish there was more on the .com? Is this perfect?
You know, sometimes you can tell when the database entries have been written right after the very first episode comes out. Because there's a little bit more to be said about the client by the end of the season, I think. I think the one-sentence description of the client on the data bank is a testament to the idea of you are what you do, because it only really lists what he's up to, nothing really about him. He's mysterious. He keeps a low profile. That's it. Here's where he lives. You know everything, which is fine. We love celebrating the different data banks that some of them have so much personality and flair, and some of them are clearly like, we just met this character. We know nothing about them, but here's our data bank entry.
There's some popular discourse around him. Let's get it in there. Let's go.
He strangely looked like human male. Werner Herzog. I'm glad that they didn't include that. The Wikipedia, that's always great when Wikipedia then, we'll go through and he cleared his throat and in this establishment at this date. So you get all those details there. But the human male known as the client, I assume that's just a stylized, way to discuss it. But I do love the idea that we know him as the client because that was his relationship to the narrative, right?
Yeah.
But I love the idea that that was maybe his cool nickname that he told people to call him.
As I've stated on Ford Center before, I have such a problem with people who make you call them their nickname that they haven't earned, that they just give themselves. So now you've just changed my relationship with the client.
Yeah, he's got some really dumb Star Wars name. Like, his name is, Bubo or whatever. Yeah, and he's please call me the client. And, young Imperial. And the people are like, what? Why? Client of what?
It's so funny. Hey, you try to not have your personal bias sway too much of your Star Wars talk, but this one might be tough for me. No, that's a great point there. And I do love the client. Before we go any further, we're going to discuss kind of riff on the client here, of course, but we got to, cover the basics. How would we physically describe the client? And it's okay to say it looks like Werner Herzog.
Yes. Artist, filmmaker, deep thinker, Werner Herzog in a trench coat is it's a little bit fancier than trench coat. You know what? I think his vibe is more than anything is he's like a World War I war reenactor. Like, I feel like that jacket, the style of his metal, like the fur lining, everything is just really sort of evoking I bought this coat on eBay because I actually think maybe the right side didn't win the war, which of course ties very much into his vibe in the show, because that's his actual thought.
Absolutely. This is great. I actually had a question on here deleted because I was like, I don't know. It's early in the morning when we record this. I can't have Joseph go into this kind of undefined realm. I was just going to have the question was described as aura. And then you ended up doing it perfectly. The wrong side won.
Yeah. How would you describe him?
Same thing. Like, if your grandfather, probably maybe played in some industrial German punk band and kind of kept I'm going to have a cool jacket and some medallion, and I'm artistic, but I'm from another era. I like the direction you went with it too. That's deep. But he just has that, he definitely looks like your grandfather, but he's got something else going on. Especially if you look at the full shot of him. I think Wikipedia has one. It's one of those kind of concept art pieces. Boots, you know, nice pants, you know, but the jacket dominates. The medallion clearly dominates. So it's like he's got some stories to tell. He doesn't just talk about weather at the family reunion.
Yeah, like on first glance, you'd be like, oh, hey, yeah, he's wearing a coat. Maybe it's chilly. And then you like come look at his entire outfit and you're like, yeah, there's nothing subtle about this guy. I think I've told the story. I found his action figure at Best Buy, the Black Series, and then we needed to go furniture shopping. So I was just carrying around Werner Herzog in this furniture store, and it putting him on like nice bookends and desks. And man, he really rung out there. He stood out.
He does indeed. We can celebrate the casting here as well, but I do want to get into the character here. We clearly don't know much about his background. He's mysterious by design, and I love that. You celebrate along with me here the tip of the iceberg storytelling. And there's a large iceberg underneath the surface of the client's waters here. He is described as refined by Wikipedia, as we said. But here's my first question. Do you think the client was always from the galaxy's upper crust, you know, those upper crust parts of society? I have this thought of maybe he worked his way up to the top. Is this an act? Is this a put on? Is this to overcompensate? Or am I completely off base?
No, I really get that vibe. I think he 100% believes it. But it feels like an affectation to me. It feels like he was a scrum rat of Corellia or something else that, you know, was looked down upon by the people that he was trying to please, probably first in the Republic and then all on board with, yeah, the Republic should be the Empire. I totally get the vibe that he was looked down upon and he worked his way up the Imperial ranks and just realize like, oh, I bet they will take me more seriously if I, you know, use big words. No. It's not a drink. It's a libation. Then this little upstart Piet will look at me with respect. And I don't think it worked. I think everybody was like, what is he talking about? Who does he think he is? You know?
Yes. No, you got me excited here. Yes. I think he worked his way up, like you said. I think that, and there's something, you know, admirable about that, right? And not that you're leaving behind who you were or where you're from, but just that, you know, you try to prove yourself, you try to, you know, raise your station, all those kind of things, but it just wasn't going well. And I look at him as like a failed artist type who is, well, I can't paint it, so I might as well collect it, which is completely fine. But then to compensate, he did exactly what you said. Just like, I'm going to, you know, there was God bless him. There was that time where everyone was like, "What is Madonna speaking with a British accent? What's going on?" And I think he's got that. And I think you're absolutely right. I think he does get some power. He rises in the ranks. He gets this medallion. We're going to talk about that. But then he's still an outcast and he's not part of the contingency plan, clearly. And I don't know how much in Star Wars canon they really factor that in, right? Was Moff Gideon left behind? Did he choose not to go? How much does the Emperor's contingency plan, especially as it was laid out in Aftermath, in the Aftermath trilogy, really affect Star Wars storytelling? I don't know. We still might find. But I just think the client was on the wrong rocket ship, not to the one to Mars. He was sent on the one to the sun. And there's a reason for that.
Yep. I almost like the idea that he, like, maybe he was, like, really proud of his, you know, rough and tumble, allegedly lesser than, but not really lesser than origins, right? And then maybe he encountered Thrawn. It's like, ooh, I'm going to do the Thrawn thing. I'm going to speak slowly and softly and use big words and like really pretend like I'm a puppet master of all kinds. Like,
your fantasy book and the Star Wars scene I want to see, it will be one episode, 28 minutes of just one conversation at a table between Thrawn and the client.
Yeah, and like that total that joke of, you know, in real life, it's totally understandable. People are experimenting. But in high school, you know, when somebody was like totally really straight laced and like you just come back next year and like they're goth now. They got, you know, and the idea that people knew him as this kind of rough and tumble. He's spitting and swearing, dank ferric this, dank ferric that. And then he meets Thrawn and he comes back. Hello.
Oh, it's too real. I had a friend who 1 year showed back up with a red beret and a trench coat. No explanation.
No judgment. It's people finding their path, experimenting, but it is still funny from the outside.
Yeah,
we've all done it to some extent.
I'm living it. I no longer look like a off-duty FBI agent taking his kids to soccer practice. I change the way I dress. It happens. But I think the Klein is an example of it going too far. And then especially when he starts, you know, earning things, getting a little bit of padding out the resume, merits come to him. And he has this Imperial medallion that he's still very proud of. And mm-hmm. you know, it's indicative of high honor. So some more headcanon here, because again, this is such a mysterious character until we find out, until we get the comic one shot of the Client gets his honor. What do you think he did to earn that Imperial medallion?
I am torn. My main instinct is absolutely nothing. I don't think that's his.
Truly stolen valor.
Yeah. I mean, there is the way he's, you know, displaying it on his chest does have like a, you know, Christmas story, the leg lamp. This is a high honor kind of vibe that he's really trying to show off. Right. And there is something in his story that maybe he was a high ranking Imperial. Maybe this is all part of Palpatine's, you know, contingency plan to keep the cloning operation going. But I get more of a vibe that Moff Gideon was kind of powerful and the Client is one of the, you know, his enforcers that he gobbled up who had nothing going. That since that's more of my vibe, I think this is my total headcanon for the Client. I think that he stole that out of Piet's locker while he was jumping in the escape pod of the Executor while it was going down over the Death Star.
He saw a bit of the future. You know, no one's going to know. The history's been erased a little bit here with the Empire, and I can rebuild myself again.
And if it is his, I think he got it from doing something just heartlessly nasty. Like, you know, if there's a, you know, a planet mm-hmm. full of abandoned children and he stole resources, like, you know, like literally taking candy from babies. And then he's wearing a medal to be like, look what I did.
Yep. I went to that spot as well. I went to the because just look at Navarro, right? Not that I think he got this from Navarro, but like the Navarro city when we get there is pretty depressed, pretty run down. And look where it is now as we follow the Mando story. So I think that's his kind of vibe. So yes, taking some resources. But then I also thought just the way the vibe he gives me, but especially with the story that we're kind of crafting for him here, that he did win it. It is his, but it was something as like best Excel sheets, like paperwork. Like it's something where he's like, you know, I'm a doctor, and it's like, and anyone who earns a doctorate, you have my respect, but it's like he's opening up a medical practice and it was not in that field. Like he just like, and no one's checking at this point in the galaxy. Oh, you got the Imperial Medallion of High Honor. Good for you. You must've done something great. And he really did something small.
That's like his award for no Dianogas in your trash chute this month. Congratulations.
Yeah, which are needed things, right? You need this. So he should be, it's type of thing. Again, he should be proud of that, but he can't be. And he's not stopping there. And he's taking his pain and putting it into other people by crafting this Client image, which makes him dangerous to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we get really, when you think about it, just a scant few moments with the Client. And it's some of, you know, my favorite things. I think you enjoy them as well, clearly, in Mandalorian. His scenes are wonderful. But the way Star Wars can work, it doesn't always work this way, but it can work this way. What other parts of the Star Wars saga would you like to see the Client pop up in?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I do love the mystery of him, but, you know, I wouldn't mind him having a story in the Return of the Jedi 40th anniversary book that they're putting out, from a certain point of view, if one of them was his, what he was doing as the Empire was falling. That might be fun. If the Bad Batch does indeed continue, and we should probably note, we are pre-recording these quite early because they're coming out while we're in London. So who knows what information might come to light? Maybe the Young Client television show will have been announced by now. But if the Bad Batch continued, it would be great to see a zealous Client just being like, yes, order, isn't this great? You know?
Yeah. Oh, so happy that order has finally come to the galaxy there. That's two great ways to look at it. I want to go either way. Young Client saves his own day, a kind of vibe. You could even go into a prequel era stuff for me, like go way back, you know, seeing this formed at school, seeing him at art school on Naboo or something like that, you know, maybe he was a classmate of Chief. I don't know. But I'm intrigued by crashing two kinds of Star Wars storytelling styles into each other, because I think he would be a wonderful bridge of the gap here. Client showing up in some of the final episodes of Andor.
Ooh, yeah.
Herzog there, I think is, you know, he's never set out to be, you know, an actor first, but he was so good in this role. I think he would fit in. And then, you know, it's not that long ago from, you know, 10 years or so. You could, you know, de-age him if you want to a little bit. I don't think you need to. And just have him in like Mon Mothma talking. or actually him and Luthen over the collectibles, over the artifacts, all that kind of stuff. In that conversation with Clea there. Oh, that'd be what
that's. Perfect. Yeah. Cause you know that the client, I would love for the client to come in and want to be an expert and have Luthen have to contain his anger when the client insists that he knows the truth of the artifacts and he just doesn't.
Yeah.
I have mentioned many times lately working at the Mill City Museum in Minneapolis is a museum about many things, but one of the things about it is the actual functioning of a flour mill that revolutionized a lot of things. But sometimes there were frankly men who would come in who just couldn't abide the fact that they didn't already just automatically know how the machinery worked. Like, you know, they just were coming from that perspective of like, by birth, I should know how all machinery works. And I can't stand that this young artsy kid is going to tell me how a machine works. So they'd ask how it works. And then they'd interrupt you to try to explain it to you. Like, that's the client in Luthen's shop.
Yes, that's exactly it. That is a corn press. No, it's not. This isn't a corn mill.
It was all based on gravity. No, it really wasn't. There was a, yeah.
Oh, there you go. I love that idea. So we'll fingers crossed with the client Luthen crossover we all quite frankly deserve. That'd be great. Well, one of the reasons we can only go back with his storytelling is we can't go forward. Deaths aren't always permanent in Star Wars, but most of them I think are. How do we feel about the client's death at the end of season one, chapter 7 to be specific, I believe?
Brutal, but powerful and great, you know. I was definitely bummed to see him go, but in some ways it's good because, you know, there are characters who come back. There are characters who stick around, and sometimes a character is loved and then people get a little annoyed that they never go away or that kind of thing. All that stuff, you know, I'm glad that the client doesn't need to deal with any of that. He is just one amazing season of being a strong, distinct flavor. He's it's like sampling some kind of great strange cheese where you're like, oh, I can only eat a small bite of that and I can't have it every meal, but damn, is it delicious. So there's a part of me that definitely wanted him to go on, but I also enjoyed the fact that he was a Star Wars character who got to be this strong, distinct pop of flavor. And then if you want to taste it again, you get to go revisit that season.
Indeed. 2019, we're still talking about him in this way. He's so memorable, but I'm with you. There's some lessons in there if you want to follow some of the themes of the Empire, Moff Gideon, and how you're just pieces and pawns in someone else's plan, even though you think you got a medallion and you're secure. So there's something about that I like, but I'm with you, it's hard to separate that. Man, one more great scene with him and, you know, any character, you know, just to have Werner Herzog there is something I just immediately felt like, all right, but okay. But story-wise, it worked. I don't think he would have been the strongest of villains going forward. I think that was Gideon's role and needed to be. So I'm with it. But I felt the sting of his loss a little bit.
Absolutely. I was shocked. You know, it made a little bit of real world sense of like, okay, maybe Werner Herzog isn't signing up for like, yes, I want 8 seasons, you know.
Yeah.
But it was such good storytelling, right? To put him across is the big villain, and then to see him as just a pawn, it was a great way to really introduce Moff Gideon. And, you know, rewatching Mandalorian recently, I really appreciated how much his story does speak to Imperial horror shows. You were alluding to it You know, there's plenty in The Mandalorian that explores nuance and gray areas, but I personally feel like it is still telling the classic Star Wars storytelling, and that's that authoritarian regimes are awful. You know, the client failed. He talks a big game, but like he lost the baby basically twice.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
he was proud. He was proud to present a pram to Moff Gideon there with nothing in it. And the price of failure in an authoritarian regime is death. And he died moments after going on and on about the Great Order and how the Imperial Empire was better by every metric, well, except for maybe valuing life.
Yeah. 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 Oh, that's indeed. Well said there. We are celebrating this character, though, even though sometimes it's fun to root against these characters. So the question we always ask, what is the magic of the client? What does he bring to the Star Wars saga? Is it just the medallion? Is it just the words? What is it, Joseph?
I think it's the fact that he is exactly what I think I want in a villain. He is terrifying, but likable to the audience. Like you want to watch him because he's different. He's charming. And you can say like, I disagree with every word, every perspective coming out of his mouth, but I love to watch him. I love to dislike him. You know, I think that's his charms. It's similar to Palpatine of like every word is awful, but man, it's fun to hear. Yeah. And I think he's well written and well delivered that his arguments, when you break them down, are full of malice. There's a lot of taunting cruelty about the state of the Mandalorians, but they kind of sound logical on the surface, and it kind of sounds like you're maybe having a discussion with somebody who has read their history and knows what they're talking about just on the surface. And then you get just a little bit beneath that and you realize that he's just rotten to the core. And I think that makes him powerful too, because you kind of lean in and go, interesting. Wait, no, awful.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You can tie that to the real world pretty quick. Yeah. I'm with you. There is this, especially for Mando season one, it was its own thing. And despite, you know, what you might have wanted the show to be, and I'm really speaking to myself in terms of dialogue, pacing, you know, especially season one had a lot of that adventure of the week stuff, like real strong versus, you know, it's still present, I think, in the show, but it was something pretty powerful then. To have him show up and just chew up the scenery was like something I really valued. Quill was like that on the light side version. This was the dark side version of the dialogue in that show. Again, going back to season one, where it just was like, there was a little bit for me of like, what are they doing? What are they presenting? But it just made sense. He was so weird, so different, just everything about it. And I'm dying to know, and I don't know where if it exists, of Favreau, anyone talking about the dialogue for the client when they were writing it. I know they wanted Herzog. They recruited him. Favreau did. And there's some great stories. You know, we know Werner Herzog didn't watch Star Wars, hadn't seen it, didn't really know who John Favreau was. Maybe finance another picture of his, like, great, all the stuff. But it's just all works out wonderfully. And I just want to know some of the lines we'll talk about. But, like, did John come up with that at his old typewriter? or did Herzog get to set and go, what if I say it the way that I would say? Like, it's just fantastic to me. And leaves you with questions, more questions than answers. And I think that's sometimes what you need, and a lot of magic to the client.
Oh yeah. A ton of magic to the client. Yeah. I just recently picked up Werner Herzog's take on the film Nosferatu. And there is something about the client that is a little Count Dracula like of speaking in this. Obviously there is the accent, but speaking in this kind of tortured way that, and he's like this monster who appears to be a gentleman on the surface. So part of me is just feeling like, are they just kind of riffing on that vibe? Is that what Favreau is going for?
Yeah.
Final thing I'll say about the magic, because I know we gotta get moving, but everybody loves to quote that, I would like to see the baby, which is great. It's so powerful that he strings I would like to see the baby directly together with the previous line, which is, I see nothing but death and chaos, I would like to see the baby. Beautiful, beautiful choice.
Well, we're going to talk about some of those quotes and make it all personal. Stick around, and more Data Bank Dive here.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs.
Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Force Center. I'm Kat Napsok. That's Joseph Scrimshaw here in the virtual studio of DataBank Dive. We're having fun looking at the client. And you mentioned right before that quick break, Joseph, I would like to see the baby is perhaps the most famous quote from him from season one. It's an incomplete quote, like you said, pointed out. Bounty hunting is a complicated profession. And I think our personal favorites, I don't want to speak for you, but this one spoke to our souls, I think. May I offer you a libation to celebrate the closing of our shared narrative. I want an entire documentary on that line from page to screen. That's what I want to know. The client gave us some of the more memorable quotes in modern Star Wars, I think. So number one, we'll talk about those quotes. But then the question to set it up here, Joseph, is if there was a client quote generator app, what new quote would you want it to spit out in the voice of the client is something we'll get to that there. But I do want to talk about the quotes there. You mentioned it before. They're just so juicy and wonderful.
They are. I think it's because the delivery is unique. It's because I think the lines are layered. They're threatening. Like the may I offer you a libation to celebrate the closing of our shared narrative is so great that you can sometimes forget the line right before where he runs his hand across Din's helmet and talks about how beautiful Beskar is when forged by, you know, it's ancestral artisans. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those, like, if the song right next on the album had not been the best song ever, the one right before it would have been the best ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that one blew our minds so much. Like, that is my favorite. That may I offer you a libation.
celebrate the closing of our shared narrative. I asked my wife to make us a cross stitch of it. She made a practice cross stitch, and one of these days she's going to make us a cross stitch of that line.
So beautiful. Yeah, you're right. Because a lot of these lines, especially I would like to see the baby, became so memeable and just memes, you know, it's just that line appears more than the ones that set it up. But I love your take that it's the great track, but don't forget the song right before it. It's just as good. I didn't write it down, but I love the one about Pershing early on. I'm just like, his enthusiasm outweighs his discretion. Is that that one?
Yeah, it's right along those lines. Yeah.
A lot of his dialogue reads as the script description, but more like the character stuff of like the parentheses, you know, but it's fascinating. But all right, let's have a little fun. So, you know, Disney or Lucasfilm releases a client quote generator app for your phone. Do you have a line or two that might pop out?
Yeah, I have two. I have a scary one and a fun one, which seems right for the client. The scary one is, your soul is unique in pulchritudinous, which is why I would like it mounted on my wall.
Yes.
I think pretty scary. And the fun one for me is to not eat the entire pizza is to be entirely a coward.
Yeah, you and I went to the same spots. I was like, how can that shared narrative libation one is, you know, such a Star Wars version of what you'd say at a bar crawl. So I went with one quote, perhaps our partnership can be wrapped as tightly as this exquisitely prepared burrito frozen by the coldness of the world that would try to divide us.
That's a poem right there.
Pop your frozen burrito in the microwave there. Werner Herzog was one of the most random castings in Star Wars. I loved it. Again, check out Wikipedia for a little bit more of the story. You can link to articles that maybe go into it more. But I want to know every beat of that decision and the process and how we made it. You know, we got some Deborah Chow, some great stories of the coward, you know, moment with the baby Yoda. I also, much of the client, don't want to know. I just want to imagine this weird world where Werner Herzog ends up in Star Wars. But inspired by this, who else do you want to show up in The Mandalorian? We've got some great castings already from season 2, season 3. We got some at the time of this recording we haven't even seen yet. So we'll be celebrating those characters. But going forward, we got at least one more season, Joseph. Do you want any other weird castings?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the really obvious one, because it has a relationship to Werner Herzog in that it is a classic, wonderful artistic director who speaks in a slow and deliberate manner. I need David Lynch.
Oh, yes.
I want David Lynch to show up as, like, you know, the client's cousin who's, you know, getting some justice. Lynch is phenomenal in Spielberg's The Fablemans. If you haven't seen it, check that out. So David Lynch, or a pick that you might have as well. I still want to see Lady Gaga in Star Wars, and maybe a surprise appearance for one episode in The Mandalorian would be just right.
I'm all there for that. Absolutely. I'm not going to lie. This was the, can I get Joseph to answer David Lynch without asking the portion of it there. So in the same vein, or just, yeah, some wild, I have perhaps two choices. One is kind of, you know, when I watched Herzog in The Mandalorian, I thought of this guy a lot. He pops up every now and then. Most recently for me, it was in the Coen brothers collection of stories set in the Old West there. Tom Waits is, great singer songwriter, shows up in a lot of things. One of my favorite appearances of him is in the 1999 movie Mystery Men, where he plays Dr. A. Heller. Say it with me. A. Heller. Dr. Heller. He's just got that vibe. And I think he would fit so well in the Mandalorian show and universe. You know?
Oh, he's totally in line with that vibe, with the Favreau vibe, with the Werner Herzog vibe. Yeah, cast him in a Renfield-like role, like his role in Bram Stoker's Dracula. It'd be beautiful. Right. Well, you know what? I want Greef Karga to expand his repertoire of who is allowed to play in the courtyard. And I want Tom Waits to be like, this music's nice and everything, but let's get something a little bit more real in the courtyard.
He's just, one of my favorite lines is from Mystery Men, and it's him eating like a bowl of cereal, watching the news after the big climax. He's like, a fraculator worker, what? And it's just one of my favorite deliveries of a line yet. So there you go. Tall weights. But then my other backup choice, it's not the same vein, but much like your use of Gaga there in this, it's just something kind of weird and wonderful, spectacular. We've got so many Cheers players in this world. Mm. You've got to get George Went in there at some point. George Went, the joke, and I'm not the only one to make it because I actually thought that was true. A lot of people thought he was Malakili. There's similarities in the face to that Malakili performer and him. And so why not make him an older Malakili? Time has passed and he's at a canteen in a corner talking about the old days. So.
Oh, yeah. He can be drinking in Freetown.
Yes. Yes. What do you do? I sit here. The final one, making it really personal. Is there an award or honor you've received that you would always wear around your neck if society would let you? I guess you could choose to buck the trends, Joseph, but if you could walk around with something like that, what would you do?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got, some diplomas and some of the accomplishments I'm proud of in life didn't come with any actual physical manifestation of the accomplishment. So I have to go with one of the few physical items I have for an accomplishment. My friend used to host something called Roger Con, where he would have a bunch of friends over for the entire weekend to his house. His name was Roger. So it was Roger Con. And one of the things that we would do at Roger Con is have a tournament to play Super Smash Brothers. And one year I won the Super Smash Brothers tournament. And he gave me a large engraved trophy that looks like an actual sports trophy, but then it just has a hot dog on the top. So I'd wear a hot dog trophy around my neck and say, for Super Smash.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I wish I had more confidence to wear some of these awards from the past. My old PE coach, Barry Ehrlich, and a lot of you know who might know Brett Ehrlich from Nerd Alert, Young Turks, all that stuff. That was his uncle, I found out. We ran into each other at Screen Junkies, and it synced up, and it was great. He was the PE coach in seventh grade, pulled me in front of the entire school, the PE class, and was like, "Hey, I saw this kid perform this weekend in the school drama, and I want to give him an award for it." And he handed me like a little, the drama faces, the smile and the frown, that thing, and it was like a pen. It was a pen to put on my jacket. And it was such a great moment in front of, the athletes, the jocks. And even though I love sports, I wasn't that and to acknowledge me. And I should have worn it around on my heart and soul and jacket for the rest of my days. And I didn't. So I go back. I go back and do that one there.
That'd be great. That's a great type in.
There you go. And I also did, I won some speech tournaments later on in eighth grade, and they did hand out trophies, and I was quite proud of the first one because all my friends had won trophies and I hadn't won one yet. And I finally got one for a humorous interpretation, and it was big. I would look like a little bit like Flavor Flav, but I would wear that there.
But we'll have to talk about that. I did speech for a little while too, and we haven't talked about that. So we'll have to get into our humorous interpretations.
Oh, I can't wait to tell you what I won with. All right. we are going to rate the wild, weird, and wondrous factor of the client. Our rating, of course, is based on one of the original Star Wars weirdos, Lobot. So out of 10 Lobot heads, one being the least, 10, of course, being the most. Joseph, how many Lobot heads do you give the client?
I would like 7.5 Lobot heads. I would like to see them and wear them and put them on my wall. I think it's about a 7.5 for me because I think what is magical about him is he isn't that weird on paper. I guess his dialogue is, right? But in a treatment, right? There's like, there's an Imperial Remnant guy who kind of talks charming, but you can sense the malice underneath. But it turns out he's actually a pawn of the bigger bad. And I'd be like, yeah, no, well, we've seen a lot of those kind of general Imperial types. And then the commitment to what he is, the way he represents, the way he expresses himself is just so flavorful and beautiful that I got to give him a full 7.5 Lobot heads.
That's beautiful. I think we're in the same range. I might say 7, but then I'll push it to 8 simply because of his dialogue, right? Like other than that, and the medallion, but other than that, he's an old fascist in a cool jacket or cape that wear trench. We've seen that before in Star Wars. I think on a lineup of characters, he might not stand out. It's everything else starts to stand out. And just knowing he was coming, the client and Werner Herzog in the role, and then seeing it the first week was like, what? Record scratch? What is happening? This is beautiful. This is weird. So therefore, I'll go with 8 out of 10 for that one there.
That is a great one. I love giving him a different amount of heads because it just seems like he'd celebrate that. One quick other thing I want to say about the client, since we've been talking about, is that a nickname he gave him? I want to ask you a question, Ken.
Yeah.
Would you like it if he did have a real name and they just did the Star Wars thing of mixing up the syllables of the actor's name and his real name was Zogher Nerwer? Would you be okay with that?
I'd be 100% okay with that. I'm going to start a campaign for that. Beautiful. That'd be beautiful. Absolutely needs to happen. Absolutely.
Excellent.
Well, there you have it, folks. We have celebrated the client. Let us know what you think about the client. Let us know your ranking. You can do so by reaching out on Twitter at @ForceCenterPod. And once you're there, you can link to all the things we do. As Joseph said, we pre-recorded these episodes. We are currently having fun at the Excel Center in London, Star Wars Celebration. So hopefully we've seen you or will see you. We'll see you around there. So it's been a lot of fun. You can follow me at Ken Napsok. Go to my website, kennapsok.com. Joseph, where can they find you and all your humorous interpretation speeches?
You can find them all on social media at Joseph Scrimshaw across many social media platforms and on my YouTube channel. Just search for Joseph Scrimshaw.
There you go. We'll see you next time here on Data Bank Dive.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both as twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.